Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. Only just a matter of. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. Really honored to get to spend this time with you, especially because it is the National Day of Prayer. You hear this from me every day. I so look forward to connecting with you each and every day to bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, that absolutely deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. And what a blessing it is to live free in a country where we are free to pray publicly and pursue Jesus fervently. So in this next hour, we're going to be taking your calls. I want to hear about your most amazing answer to prayer ever. Share it. And also, you need to know, it can be an amazing, miraculous, just bold, audacious story, or it can be the most personal story to you, where it was just a nuanced story that God met you in the nuances of your life and answered in a way that was so personal that it meant the world to you. It doesn't have to be this smashing story. Now, I know you're not used to calling in on the show. In fact, I would like to take calls more often. I guess I'd like your opinion on that as we go. Would you like more often to have shows where you can engage and call in versus just text in? Let me know. But call in with your most amazing prayer story. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. If you're not able to call, you can text. And if you're not able to text, email something in and we'll try to grab it that way. middays@myfaithradio.com. We do have a stack of books to get into your hands. So the first handful of you to call will get a copy of my book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with Bold and Humble Faith. Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with Bold, Humble Faith. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. So a quick announcement. You've been hearing us hit this, but we want to make sure that you're able to join us. We've got a live studio event coming. I'm super excited about it. Just coming up in a couple of weeks, Thursday, May 16th, 7 p.m., right across the street from us at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas, if you've heard them, they're just powerful. They're funny. They're so engaging. They are going to give you a faith shot in the arm, really going to challenge you to kind of confront some of the self-limiting beliefs that have held you back from the best of what God has. We're going to dream together about what God might do and what the preparation process looks like. So Mark Allen Schoolmeesters will also join us to lead us for a little bit of time of worship. We'll have a little meet and greet, Q&A time, and then actually record a show. Tickets are only $15. Don't postpone. I want to know that you're coming, all right? You can find those the information and the tickets at myfaithradio.com. I also am going to share in just a moment one of my most amazing answers to prayer. And it's actually a time when God said no to a prayer. One of the most amazing no's I've ever received. But first, I want to pray for our nation as we wait for some calls to come in. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you and we just thank you. Lord in heaven, we thank you that we get to live here. And while we're in a day that we're more divided than ever, so polarized and everybody's poking at each other and looking at what's wrong, there's so much right with this land. There's so many people in other countries that would give anything to live here in a free country where we can open our Bible in a park and read, and we can play guitar in a park and sing. We can pray over the air without looking over our shoulder and worrying about our lives. Lord, we are so free. We're so blessed, and we thank you. And we just humble ourselves, and we ask your forgiveness, Father, for the many ways, Lord Jesus, this nation has thumbed its nose at you, for the ways we've mocked all that you hold sacred. God, forgive us, Lord. And for us as believers, for the times that we've loved our comfort more than we've loved our convictions. I pray you would mobilize us, fill us with faith, fill us with power. We humble ourselves before you. We ask for your mercy. We ask you to bring revival to this land. We ask that you'd bless our leaders. I do ask, God, that you promote the humble and the righteous, and you move out the proud and the corrupt. Your word says you will cut off the strength of the wicked and increase the power of the godly. Would you do that in our land? Foil every plot against us in the name of Jesus. But Lord God, I know that we are in a day where it does seem we deserve some consequences. And so we ask mercy over judgment. We ask that for those who are spewing lies about who you are, that they would encounter you and be brought to their knees and become some of today's best evangelists. Lord, bring the prodigals home. Lord, bless our first responders and our law enforcement. bless those who are just weary and tired in church and need a revival. I pray you put wind in our sails and fire in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we've got people calling in, so you're going to have to wait on my story about my most amazing answer when Jesus said no to me. 877-933-2484. Carla's calling from Watertown. Hey, Carla, thanks so much for calling in.
Hi there.
Hey, you were the first one. You make me so happy. You get a copy of your powerful prayers. Thank you so much.
No problem.
So what do you got for us?
Well, we were in the Suburban, driving in pouring rain in rush hour, and my wipers had not worked in months. I had my three small children in the back seat, and it was terrifying because we could not see a thing. So I shot up a quick prayer. All three of my girls were listening real carefully and just prayed to Jesus, help us make it safely to our destination. And the wipers came on.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
They hadn't worked in months.
Wow. And your kids saw that. They were in that desperate place with you. They heard your prayer, and then they got to participate and see that answer, the faithfulness of God.
See,
that's amazing.
Miracle.
Oh, thank you so much.
And to this day, that was 15 years ago, and they all three still remember that day.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. And because of that, you're still here to tell us about it. Wow. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Carla. That's amazing. If you're able to stay on and give Carissa your address, we'll get you a copy of the book. Thank you so much for sharing.
Well, thank you.
Bless you. All right, we've got Donald calling from Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Hey, Donald, thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, tell me about your answer.
Sorry, it's a little bit like, for me, it was a no. For my wife, it was a yes. It really wasn't my prayer. It just, so here's the deal. We've lived in the country for 40 years, part of my dad's farm, and I love the country. My wife had very legitimate reasons for moving to town. One of the reasons is vision, driving on country roads, and so she wanted to buy a house in town. And I had all these reasons why we shouldn't. I said, I'm a farm boy. I don't want to live in town. You know, we're fine. And one of the reasons I used, it's a common husband response of excuses, well, we really can't afford a mortgage now. And, so she says, yeah, it would be tough, wouldn't it? Well, after her mother passed away, she received an inheritance. I lost that excuse. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So she starts house shopping. I reluctantly go along. We look at this, we look at that. She's got some criteria. It doesn't match it. One day I'm looking on the computer that she's got up for sites, and I see this place that it kind of piques my interest. It's got a beautiful backyard. Well, we ended up buying it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like it at all. It needed some remodeling, which we got done. There's almost 2 acres in town, and with this big backyard, it feels like where we were.
Wow.
Beside that, my neighbors on either side, one of them is the son of a farmer from our neighborhood. The other one's a grandson of a farmer from our neighborhood. I didn't know that when we bought it.
Wow. Hey,
so
does she like it now? I got to know. Does she like it now?
It.
Good.
Oh, she absolutely loves it. Yeah, wow. And I do too. And so the Lord changed my heart. You know, I didn't want it. And so, I mean, I didn't want a place in town. And one of the reasons I gave is, what are we going to do with the place in the country? You know, should we rent it? Should we sell it? What should we do? Well, I had a customer that was looking for a place in the country. I knew this 6 months before. They had horses. They actually used the horses in a Christian ministry called Sermon from the Mount. I don't know if you ever heard of that or not. But so they were living on Grandpa's farm. The family was going to sell that farm. They needed a place to rent. He was sharing this with me while I'm working on his vehicle, and I'm thinking, okay, well, we'll pray about that. And when this house came up that we now own, I thought, I better call him and find out once if they ever found a place. Found out that they were going to list their horses on Craigslist that evening.
Wow.
That I made the call to say, we have a place for you. Said, so we've got a house, 5 acres of hayfield, 8 acres of woods, and a barn. You can keep your horses. And so they were extremely blessed by this, still living there.
And the rest is history. Wow. You know, God just cares so much about all the nuances of our life and all the timing and the details. It is amazing how he really works all things together. That's such a great story.
Yeah, every little detail. I mean,
down to the
things we needed to remodel the house, I found out by accident, more or less, that there was a building supply store going out of business. And how that happened is there was a series of events where I needed a tool. I didn't have it. It was cold. The stores were closed. It was like 20 below zero. And so I decided to try this other home store looking for just a simple little tool. And when I walked in, I said, you know, you've got some nice kitchens here. I should probably check you out because we're looking at buying a house. He said, we're not selling any more kitchens. We're going out of business. But if you come back tomorrow, we'll have some pricing on some of these display models. Ended up with a third of the price of retail.
Wow. Well, he took care of you, Donald. That is amazing. God was leading you even when you were unaware. We need to pause for a break here, but I sure appreciate it. And Donald, if you want a copy of your powerful prayers, be sure to tell Carissa your address. But thank you for sharing that. Someone needed to hear that today. All of the intricacies of that story, he worked it all together. Lisa, I see your call. Cindy, I see your call. Donald, thank you for your call. 877-933-2484. It is the National Day of Prayer. We're praying for our leaders. Remember to do that. Pray for your nation, our nation. But also want to just focus today on God's very specific answers to prayers in your life. What's one of the most amazing answers to prayer? You can text in, call in, you can even email. I'll be looking for them. We've got a stack of books to give away. We will be back in a moment.
I'm waiting my whole life to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful one, welcome to the place where you belong.
Thanks for tuning in today to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. On this National Day of Prayer, we are focusing on prayer. What I want to hear from you is the most amazing answer to prayer you've ever experienced. You know, Scripture says that the earnest prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. Psalm, I think it's 147:3-4 says this, he heals up the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. What I love about that passage, so yes, we pray for our nation, we pray for our leaders, but then you look at how near Jesus is. He heals up the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds, and then look how far he reaches. He determines all of the number of stars, billions of stars, and calls each of them by name. This God that we serve is mighty, majestic, powerful, and true, and intimately right here, right now, very close. He cares about your story. And I'm telling you, your testimony will beget another testimony. Somebody's going to hear your story and be reminded that if he does it for her, if he does it for him, he'll do it for me. That's why your story is so important. 877-933-2484. Lisa, did we lose Lisa? Did she go away? Looks like she, oh no, she's there. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for holding. Sorry, I thought we lost you.
No,
good to have you.
My pleasure. Yeah. Thank you. Good to be on your show. I just have to share a story. I have always been a bit of a worrywart. Tried really hard not to worry all the time and pray and give it to God. And several years ago, my eldest son had signed up for the Marine Corps and he was going off to war, and I happened to be painting in a local gas station, and this gentleman come in, and he just started chatting with me, kind of followed me around while I was painting, and then when he went to leave, he stopped to shake my hand. We had talked about faith a little bit, and then when he shook my hand, I'm always really moved by the story, and I always get goosebumps, but when he shook my hand, he said, Lisa, you have a son in the military. And I said, yeah, I do. And I right away, your mind races to how could this person possibly know this? But anyway, then he said, God wants you to know that no matter how long he's in or wherever he goes, he's going to be okay. God doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to be okay.
Wow.
So my son did. He actually went to Iraq twice and then volunteered, of all things, without asking his mother if he could go to Afghanistan. But I had that gift the whole time he was in the military, and,
wow,
and what a gift it was.
Oh, I just thank the Lord for people like that whom God moves, and you get a word in due season. Oh, that is amazing. Thank you for sharing that.
And
thank you to your whole family for your son's service. We so appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great story. And if you want a copy of the book, make sure you let Carissa know your address. Your powerful prayers. Love to get one to you. Thank you, hon.
Thank you. I will do that.
I love that story. You too, honey. That's so great. All right. Cindy is calling from Plymouth. Hey, Cindy. Thanks for holding.
Hi. Thank you. This is, God has been so faithful to so many prayers, but this one is just such a sweet example of the detail. And I know you were talking about that with Donald, just the detail that God has. And I had read a book, it was The Turquoise Table, and it talks about being front yard people and putting a picnic table in your front yard to, you know, encourage neighbors. And I love our neighborhood, and I love the book, and I was just really knowing that's God's heart. I'm like, God, this is something you love. You love neighbors. You love, you know, community. And so I started praying for a picnic table. And I know it sounds really silly, but I knew that God was going to provide it. And what's funny is I had a lot of friends, like, looking on websites and looking on Craigslist for me and, you know, purchasing one. And I'm like, nope, God's going to bring it to me. He's going to show it. It's not going to cost me anything. And it was really funny because I went and visited my sweet daughter-in-law's parents. And Kathy was like, you know, Cindy, I have something. I don't know if you want it. I mean, it's going up to the corner. We're getting rid of it. It's this old picnic table. And, you know, it's over here if you want to look at it. I'm sure you don't want it, but just in case, you know, you have any need for it. And I mean, it still brings me tears because I was like, oh, my gosh. And it even was turquoise.
Wow.
I mean, and I'm like, Kathy, I go, you have no idea. And I said, I've been praying for that. And it's, you know, it's in my front yard. And I tell people that because, you know, God, God is, you know, he is so awesome. And he does answer, like, he's answered some really, really big prayers. But he's also in the detail. And I'm always telling people, I go, you know, bring it before the Lord because he cares. He really does.
Oh, I love this story for so many reasons. And one thing, you know, God's been convicting me about is just how many times I just provide for myself. I mean, I'm you want to be responsible, of course. But what I'm saying is there's times where I go ahead and grab something when it was like, actually, I wanted to give you something and I would have done better than that. You know what I mean? It's like we don't want to feel like we're going without. We tend to preempt things and force outcomes. And you are willing to wait
for
on
sure.
God's timing. And look how detailed he provided for you. But now you've got a story with him, right? I mean.
Well, and the thing is, too, is, I could have bought one. You know, I could have. But I just knew. I'm like, this is such God's heart. He loves neighbors. He's all, you know, it's in the Bible. I mean, he loves neighbors. He loves community. And I knew this was his heart. And I'm like, I just love that example. But God is so, so awesome. And I just encourage people to bring before him all of those things because he really does delight.
I just love the story. I love it so much. I love that you had the patience and the humility to say, God, I know you want to partner with me in this. And he loves that kind of faith. That's so convicting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, a lot of us need to hear that today because we tend to grab for ourselves when he's saying, hold on, why don't you let me provide for you? And friends, I know this is speaking to some of you, so I'm going to do another call-in show someday, and you're going to call me back and say, that story from Cindy inspired this story. So thank you so much, Cindy. And if you want a copy of the book, you let us know, and Carissa will get your address, okay?
Of course.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
I love that one. Thank you. Bless you. All right, Kathy from Lakeville, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Do we have Kathy yet? Sorry. Oh, there she is. Hi, Kathy.
Okay. Hi. So this story isn't about prayer, but it's about praise. When my granddaughters were little, I spent a lot of time with them. And I had one of my granddaughters in the back seat of my car, in the middle, in her car seat. And it was a very wet, snowy Saturday afternoon. And we were driving on a very narrow road. I was familiar with the road. We were singing Go Tell It on the Mountain. That was one of the things we would always sing. We would always sing Christian songs together while we were driving. And I glanced back at her for 1 second, and when I turned back at the road, there was a car in front of me that I absolutely was going to hit.
Wow.
Smack on. And I didn't. I somehow, the car went around it, almost as if in midair, went around that car. And out of the corner of my eye, out of the passenger side window, I saw this guardian angel. Not the whole thing, but like three quarters of this guardian angel, the one, you know, the ones with the big wings. And I just went around this car and kept on going. And I just said, thank you, Lord. And I just, you know, praised him silently to myself. I didn't tell anyone about this ever. I just kept it in my heart. And 1 year at at the dinner table, at like an Easter dinner table or a Thanksgiving dinner table, whatever it was, with family, this is about 3 or 4 years ago now, my granddaughter, who was in the back seat with me, she was about 15 or 16, and I decided I was going to tell the family about the situation. We were all sharing kind of miraculous kind of things. I decided I was going to, or faith stories, I was going to share this with the family. And my daughter said, well, you had told that story before, Mom. And I said, no, I knew that I hadn't. And my granddaughter spoke up and she said, no, I told you about that, Mom. I had no idea that my granddaughter, at the young age of like 3 or 4, or whatever she was, had seen that angel. And she and I had never spoken about it.
Wow. I have holy goosebumps. I love it.
We all sat there with our mouths wide open.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one of those that you see on a movie. You know what I mean? That just sort of stops you in your tracks. Thank you for that story. Oh, my goodness. My faith is buoyed up. I'm so grateful for your calls, friends. And if you want a copy of the book, you make sure you let Carissa know. But thank you. I'm deeply inspired by that story. Bless you, my dear sister. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to read this one from Margaret, but I don't want to. I'll have to read it too fast, and I want to give it the proper time. Margaret, I'm going to read your text when we come back. Susie Larson here. This is Middays. On this National Day of Prayer, we're taking your prayer testimonies. This is just to testify. God moves when we pray, and he intervenes in the most brilliant ways. 877-933-2484. Back in a bit. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. It is the National Day of Prayer. We're praying for our leaders and our nation. Absolutely. But I guess I wanted to spend this hour focusing on answers to prayer, because oftentimes we forget how powerful prayer is, what a gift it is that we've been invited into the inner throne room of the Most High God. We have access to the inner throne room. If you wanted access to some rock star, some unimportant rock star, you probably wouldn't get it. But Jesus has made a way for us to get into the inner throne room of the Most High God, the one who put the stars in place, and he's the one who wants to hear from you, and he's always glad to see you. And this is an excerpt from my book, Your Powerful Prayers. We're giving away copies to the first handful that call in. We've already gotten a few that gone out the door. The more we pursue Jesus, the more we understand how relentlessly he pursues us. Jesus wants to talk with us. He wants to hear what we have to say. He has power to establish us, things to teach us, direction to give us. We need him, and he deeply wants us near him. If we live our lives and we approach our prayers as though we're trying hard to jump high enough to reach the sky, we'll only wear ourselves out. We'll pray weak prayers, and we'll never fully experience what God has made available to us. The truth of the matter is, love came down and rescued us. Jesus came to us. He died for us. He defeated the powers that oppose us, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. Imagine we have access to the throne room of heaven because of Jesus. We get to enjoy his presence. We get to draw on his resources. We get to trust his love. We get to count on his promises. And we are invited to pray in agreement with prayers he's already praying for us. Prayer is such a gift, and this is why the enemy will do anything he can to keep us out of the presence of God, out of entering into a fellowship and conversation with God, because when we do, part of heaven comes to earth. Margaret texted in this, and I honestly hope I can get through it without crying because it just chokes me up so much. I want to hug your neck, Margaret. She says, Susie, I thought I was working at my dream job teaching refugees. My husband was really sick, and I lost my job. I was devastated, but not worried or frantic. I trusted God would take care of us, and he did. My husband was doing better, and I kept looking. I looked for 6 months and was hired. I started my new job, found out they were praying for just the right person to take the position. They had already gone through one round of applicants. They had prayed me through those 6 months of unemployment, and then 7 months after I was hired, my husband passed away. I'm so glad God took me out of that old job to a place where my coworkers pray for each other all the time, and they have supported me through my loss. God is good. Oh, I love that, Margaret. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, let's grab Deborah's call from New Hope. Hey, Deborah, thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. I have lots of them, but this one was amazing because it wasn't something I purposed to pray. I was a missionary in Ecuador for 2 years in 1978 to 80, but around 1979, I was working in the print shop. And I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to pray in the Spirit. And I saw a bus. A lot of people would come to Ecuador, then drive down these really windy, mountainy roads down to the jungle. And they're not too safe. And, they're about one car length. And then you have to honk when you go around the corner. So it's pretty treacherous. And I felt like I saw this image of a bus kind of going, tipping slightly over the edge, like it was going to go, and then angels pushing it back up onto the road. And so I just prayed through it and prayed into it. And about a week later, there was a bus that I knew went down there. And when they came back, I said, was there anything in particular that happened eventful on the road? And they said, yeah, we were driving down and the bus like started tipping and we have no idea why, but it felt like angels were pushing the bus back up on the road. Wow. And I just went, what? And so I told them that I had prayed and I had seen that. And so it always impressed me that when the Lord impresses something on your heart to pray, we have no idea that we're praying for someone somewhere on the other side of the world or someone we don't even know. I mean, I eventually did know the result of this, but we don't always. Yeah. And sometimes we're just praying in the Spirit and we don't get an image. But to be faithful, to pray as the Lord leads, because it might be life and death for someone.
Indeed. And we will know someday. I think that's going to be one of the great things about heaven as we're with Jesus and he starts to connect the dots for us. When you prayed, when you gave, when you said, you know, how it set in motion. And that's one of my biggest things that gets me out of bed every day, because if we could see the power of our words, as scripture says, the power of our prayers, you know, the power of our intercession and what it sets in motion, I don't want to have even the slightest regret to go, if I would have known there was so much power, because our lives are to be marked by power,
I would have been
all in, you know, and I want us to not have to wait for that. Let's engage and be all in right now. Thank you for that story.
Absolutely. Fantastic. And I had tons of other ones. And so I just love it when people engage in prayer. It's just powerful.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's just perfect. Deborah, bless you. Love it.
Thank
love
you.
It. All right. We've got Ellen from Waupun. I think I'm saying that right, from Wisconsin. Ellen, you'll have to correct me if I'm saying your city wrong. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. I have to tell you, I lived in an apartment building for 14 years, and every spring for 14 years, I would get the urge I wanted to move. You know, then it would pass. Well, on the 14th year there, the urge came and it didn't go away. Finally, I stopped one day and I said, Lord, is this you speaking that I should move? Because I will listen. And the Lord laid it on me, yes, you need to move. So the next morning, I gave my notice to leave. I had no place to go, and I started packing. And it was 10 days until I had to be out. and I had no place to go. But there was no fear in me. There was no panic. There was nothing negative in me. I knew the Lord had a place for me. So a couple of days later, a friend of mine said to me, I'm going to be going to a different place. You want to come and look at it? And I thought, yeah, okay. So I did, and the manager of the building was there, and she said to me, are you looking for a place to move? We have one left. And I said, yes, I am. And I just thank the Lord. I thank him for the faith that he gave me to go ahead with this move and not have any place to go to.
Yeah, and to have peace before the answer came. I mean, that to me is really so significant because, you know, we often want relief, but God wants faith before the relief comes because he says he's going to keep his promise and take care of us, and that's just precious. Thank you, Ellen. That's just wonderful.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Bye.
Bless you.
Sure.
877-933-2484. We've got Nancy calling from Moorhead. Hey, Nancy, thanks so much for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. I'm going through pictures. My son is graduating from high school, and I'm being reminded of a story of when he was about 4 years old. We lived near a wooded area, and he was out flying his kite, and his kite got stuck in a very large cottonwood tree way up high. And he wanted to pray for God to give him his kite back. And I was a little reluctant to do that because I thought there's no way this kite is ever going to come down. But we prayed. And a couple of weeks later, we had a giant storm and the tree was knocked down. And he just walked over and pulled his kite out from the branches.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? The faith of a child. And God bless you, my dear sister, as you're working through those pictures. I remember that being a very emotional time for me. But what a history. He's already got a history with God, so he's in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that story. God bless you. All right, I think this might be a good time for me to share my no stories. Of course, many of you know my history of with my third pregnancy. I was on bed rest for 6 months and I had a 1 and a 3-year-old. It was a tough time. And I'd been on bed rest for 3 months. I just want you to imagine we were young, we were poor, and we did not even have enough money for a daily babysitter. So I had to use up all my favors with my friends and they were getting tired of me and I didn't blame them. And that was confronting all of my insecurity of being a debt to everybody. I'd rather be giving than taking. And oh, it was just hard. So here I am, you know, telling my little boys, 5 more months till mommy can take you to the park and 4.5 more months till I can be the one making your sandwiches. And I was Xing off that calendar. I'd been in bed for 3 months. And this part of my story, you might know, where I was getting a little bit depressed because I just was stuck to the couch, didn't get to see my kids during the day and just felt like in the middle of a wilderness. And, the doctor said I could get up for a couple of days to test the water because I hadn't contracted in a couple of days. So I got up one day and met a couple girlfriends from college, and we went for a walk. And a lot of you know the story, but that was too much for me, as careful as I was. So I was back in bed that night. But within 2 weeks of that outing, my face started to go numb, and I started to have neurological issues while I still had 3 months left to go in this pregnancy. And I could not even fathom after 6 months of this. And prior to that, my youngest son had a respiratory illness when he was 15 months old. Before I got pregnant, we almost lost him. It was an RSV type virus. His chest was literally like breaking with every breath, and we thought we were going to lose him. Well, he came through it. I got pregnant. So jump ahead. Here I am, 3 months left. And I'm like, how is it after all the stuff we walked through? I may be looking at a disease. My brain could not fathom it. But anyway, we delivered our son 3 weeks early, Jordan, and it was the dead of winter, and RSV was a significant epidemic at the time. It was winter. All babies everywhere had this RSV, and some babies were dying from it. And our Luke, not just 9 months prior, we'd almost lost him to a respiratory virus. So they said, don't let anybody come visit you who's got a sick child. So we put the word out. Our little baby was about 3 weeks early, but somebody did come and visit, and they brought their sick child. And within 2 days, Luke, our middle one, had the respiratory issues, and his chest is retracting with every breath. He's wheezing like a seal. And the doctors were like, your baby's so little. RSV is an epidemic. We don't want you taking we don't want to admit Luke right now because it's better for you just to be home and not be among all these other sick babies with your little baby. So we had a little split entry. We put Luke in a little playpen with a blanket, made a little tent with the steamer blowing in. And keep in mind, I have all these symptoms going off in my body, but I just kept stuffing them down because I have a new baby now. My friends were done helping, and I didn't blame them. So I'm like, I've got to put on my big girl pants and take care of this. So, and I literally was, I didn't sleep more than an hour at a time. I would go down and I would do bronchial drainage on Luke's lungs, pound on his chest, disinfect my hands, change my shirt, go up to the baby, feed the baby, and then I'd sit in the rocker because they were on opposite floors, and I would wait for one to cry back and forth all day, all night. Well, you know, if you're battling a disease and you're not sleeping, it's like giving the disease a runway to just ravage your body. Well, but I was being heroic, keeping these two separate so the baby wouldn't get what Luke had, and Luke was pretty sick. Well, after about 3 weeks of this, of no sleep, keeping these guys separate, I'll go into my little baby's room, and he's coughing, and his lips were blue from coughing, and I bring him to the doc, and they said, you know, here's some medicine, and I brought him home, and he just kept getting worse. So we brought our small group over. I was so exhausted from, it had been a month now of no sleep, and there's something going wrong in my body. I couldn't fathom it. And I felt like God wasn't speaking to me, but this small group gets around my baby, and they played some worship songs, and they all laid hands on this little car seat, and I felt like we touched heaven. I just thought, I don't know why he doesn't seem to be talking to me, but he's talking to them, and so I'll take it. And I felt like we were on a cusp of a miracle because we just did not want to have to admit Jordan to the hospital. We just wanted him to be healed, and God was so present. It was just like, we are on the cusp of a miracle. Well, the next morning, Jordan was coughing and his little chest was retracting. His lips actually were getting blue, so we had to haul him into the hospital. And they literally, they ran him in. They didn't even wait for the paperwork. They just ran him in. They checked him in, and he was two doors down from where Lukey had been just 10 months prior. So I walked by the room that I'd been in with Luke, and he's 4 weeks old at this point. I'm exhausted. My face is numb. My vision is blurring. Something's going wrong with me. They get him all set up in the tent with all these tubes. And Kev goes to call family, and I'm sitting in this rocking chair. It's the dead of winter, and it was like all of a sudden I was overcome by joy, and I couldn't explain it because I was bone tired. But I was overcome with a supernatural joy, and I remember writing in my journal, God, I'm either losing my mind or you're doing something profound here. I'm going to choose to believe that. You're up to something here, and I'll take it. Well, I get him home. He'd been there a week, and he starts to get better, but I plummeted, and I battled really bad for a year. And it was up and down and trying to figure out what was wrong. They thought it was MS. They thought it was a brain tumor. They ruled those things out. And so a year later, they find out it's Lyme disease. And I have a home health care nurse getting ready. She's at our house, filling our fridge with IV bags. I've got a shunt in my arm, teaching me how to hang the bag up on the mini blind to do my IV therapy. And little Jordan's a year old now. He runs into the living room with his little diaper, and he's just fast as can be. And the nurse looks at him. And she goes, what is he doing alive? And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, you were bit during the pregnancy. She said, we traced it back to when you were out and when your symptoms started. What is he doing alive? And I said, I don't know. And she said, it passes through the placenta 100% of the time. She said, there's two other patients who were bit at the same time of the pregnancy as you were. And she said, but those babies both went blind and died within a few months of their birth. She said, I don't get it. And she said, was he sick? And I said, yeah, when he was 4 weeks old. She goes, was he hospitalized? I said, yeah. What medicine did they use? I told her. And she said, that saved his life. And I dropped to my knees right in front of her and just said, oh, God, I'll never shake my fist at you again. I wanted a yes from him. I felt his presence, but he said no to give me a bigger yes, to say yes to Jordan's life. And I'm telling you, that was a game changer for me. I'm telling you, when God says no, it's always because he has a bigger yes in mind. I know we're past the break. We need to take a break here, and I'd love to take a few more calls. But God is good. His intentions towards us are always, always good. His thoughts towards us are always holy. We'll be back in a minute. Really really one of my all-time favorite songs, Do It Again by Elevation. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. It's Middays, and we are taking your calls, hearing about the most amazing answers to prayer. We've got a few minutes left. I'd sure love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. So far, we've heard so many stories of God's divine intervention, his absolute attention to detail, his love for you in the sweetest way. We've got Michael calling from St. Paul. Hey, Michael, thanks for holding. I'd love to hear from you. What's your story?
Well, hi, Susie. Not too long ago, in my neighborhood, we were having a lot of problems with drug sales, drug addicts, and gangs, and all that stuff. And one night, I hear just a horrific screaming and agonizing screaming. And I went outside, and right in front of my house, there was a young man who was overdosing, and his eyes were blood red, and his skin had turned like bleach white.
Wow.
And he was also under cardiac arrest. And I had just called 911. And before they got out here, I'd been praying, and I believe the Holy Spirit said, just grab him and start confessing Jesus' name over him. And that's what I did. And I just hugged him, and I kept saying, just Jesus, minister to him, set him free, give him a chance. And within a relatively short time, he absolutely sobered up, his eyes cleared up, and he started crying. He broke down, and he said that he was going to – I smelled gasoline all over the place. He said he was going to light the house next door to me on fire, and then he was going to go kill himself.
Wow.
And but he said he just started crying, and we prayed together, and I said, I really believe Jesus wants to give you another chance. And so long story short, and I know you're connected to Teen Challenge, Susie, he eventually got into Teen Challenge, the program, and he's doing very well, and he called me not too long ago. And he's all fired up for Jesus. He wants to go in the ministry now.
Wow! I love how God used you. That not only changed his life, Michael, but it changed your life. I mean, that God would let us partner with him.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, and the Lord keeps proving to us that it's good not to have confidence in ourselves, overconfidence, but to not be afraid to go into things knowing if we're in the Lord, walking with him, right, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to be uncertain of our abilities, because it's the Lord's show. He's the one that pulls it off.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you so much for that story. I'm just awed by it, and I just think, you know, that God would send you to save a life, really. He used you to save a life. It's what Jesus would have done. So thank you for doing that, responding, and even for sharing it with us today, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
God bless you. I wonder if we can grab James's call. Kim, is that possible? James Harris, I think, is his name. Let's see if we can grab that. Hey, James, how are you today?
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you. Do you have a story for us? Okay, I think we might have to cut that one. Sorry about that. That was try to call back, James, if you're able. And we did hear you just fine. Let's get Dave from Duluth. Hi, Dave.
Yes, hi.
How are you today?
Yeah, oh, just fine. Yeah, good to talk to you. I was just driving along and realized what the program was involved with here. Yeah, years ago, my wife's mother was in her final illness, St. Mary's Hospital in Duluth, and we'd be visiting there and then go home and back and forth. And first there would seem to be some improvement, and then things got more serious again, and kind of back and forth. And I can kind of remember pretty much the exact place along Central Entrance where I was just kind of praying, driving along. And you hear about sometimes a recommendation to just kind of let it all out No, the Lord is not going to be all that shocked, you know, with how he might say something. So I just said, Lord, thinking about Myrtle now and our situation, I got to say, I feel like I'm really getting jerked around. And I just had this thought, yeah, jerked around. I can relate to that. And it just struck me, of course, the way the Lord had been bruised and tortured and crucified. Talk about being jerked around, you know.
Yeah.
And so there was kind of a peace and a reassurance and maybe rebuke or whatever, you know, that.
I think it was empathy and compassion probably too, you know.
Yes, yes. And anyway, I think we were able to understand, even on this side, you know, of why things were happening the way they were. The family was there at the hospital, and the pastor was there, spent a lot of time ministering to the family. And one of the brothers-in-law, I'm sure through this whole situation, found the Lord.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for sharing this. And I love that you can come to him any way you want, and he is right there with you. I get the feeling that wasn't a rebuke. It was empathy and compassion. And, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us like that and it's a surprise to us, you know he's coming in as the Comforter and the Prince of Peace. Bless you, dear brother. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that today.
Okay, you bet.
You're a dear. I appreciate that so much. So this has been fantastic. We can't take any more calls. We're wrapping here. But let me see if I can read this one. My wife injured two discs in her back. A group of people prayed for her. Suddenly, she was healed. I love stories like that. You know, here's a few things that stand out to me today. What if we upped our game in prayer? What if all of us, whatever you've been doing up to this point, what if you engaged and upped your game? What if we were more relentless and passionate and purposeful in the way we pursued God? And what would happen if we engaged our faith in a way that cost us something? You know, if you pray vaguely, you'll never even understand or recognize the answers to come than when they do come. But as you've heard from these callers today, when you pray specifically, you're going to know a specific prayer when it comes. And this is the thing, is prayers don't always get answered the way we like, but God is always good. Faith and perseverance changes from the inside out. So if you engage in faith and it seems the person still died, I want you to know your faith is still precious to God. Your faith changed you. And God's answers always are from a superior reality than ours. But this is also true. God will one day wipe away every tear from our eyes. And he will, with 100% certainty, work all things together for the good, for those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. That's what it says in Romans 8:28. So, Lord, I pray for my friend today, and I pray that you would minister to the deepest needs of their heart. I pray, God, that you would raise up a new standard in us, that we would pursue you with passion, that we would pray with power and precision, and that we would live with an expectancy that you are who you say you are, and you're going to do what you say you will do. And together we ask you, would you heal our land? Bring us together and heal our land, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, this was so great. And I got to be honest with you, we don't take calls much, but I want to start taking calls more. But I want to know what you think about that. If we open the phone lines, will you start talking to me? Let me know. Email me middays@myfaithradio.com. Hope you found some encouragement here today. A special thanks to my producers, Kim and Carissa, whom I treasure so much. And I appreciate you for tuning in. We will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.